John Betzer with my good colleague Gregory Copley, a member of the Commonwealth, a member of the Empire, an Australian national who instructs me about these press releases that sound romantic and out of time. This one about the Order of the Thistle being awarded to the Queen, Camilla, and to Edward, the youngest brother of King Charles. Gregory, what is the Order of Thistle? I understand it is Scottish.
It's the premier Scottish Order of Chivalry. It was founded in 1687 by James VII, although, frankly, it was based on origins going back to the 7th century. So it's got some real cachet, if you like, north of the border in Scotland. And you've got Prince William, the Prince of Wales, is also, when he's in Scotland, called the Duke of Rothesay. So he's already been a holder of the Order of the Thistle, which is very, very rare. Its companion order is the Order of the Garter in England. So the Order of the Thistle has equal prominence as the Premier Order of Scotland. But Prince Edward, the younger brother of King Charles, is the Duke of Edinburgh. And so he was just made a member of the Order of the Garter, which more or less completes his Scottification, if you like. And it's very significant that they place this emphasis. And Queen Camilla also was made a member of the Order of the Thistle at a ceremony at St. Giles Cathedral in Edinburgh during Royal Week, which began on July the 3rd. So you've got this ancient order, the chancellor of which is a Scottish duke, the Duke of Buccleuch and Queensberry, giving this. And it does have significance because it highlights the individuality of the Scottish nation. And here we're talking nations in the tribal sense as opposed to the state sense. So you've got this, and Scotland is very much tribally driven in that classical sense, that it is an emotional nation of Scots of many different clans, of course, but it gives a good example to the rest of the Commonwealth how the crown can help unite the emotional nations, the tribal nations, if you like, even in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and so on. And I think this is something which has been a great example because this Royal Week in Scotland, centered on the royal family's presence at Holyrood Palace, basically spells out the crown's appeal to the people through their own emotional levels. And that can be vitally important in keeping the overall family of nations in the United Kingdom itself and with the Commonwealth together. And it's a great lesson, and it's political theatre, but it's a very positive political theatre because it warms the cockles of the local's heart. And if you saw the ceremonies which occurred at St. Giles and around Holyrood Palace, you'll see that the chivalry was entirely different from the English structure. You had the king's bodyguard in Scotland, which are the king's archers, looking very different from the household regiment in the red tunics and bearskin hats in London, although they have those there as well. But you also had the military and musical side of these events run along very Scottish lines with Highland bands and Highland formality. So it's basically emotional, but it builds the nation, particularly in troubled political times and troubled economic times. It was warmly received there and by the, for example, the enormous Scottish global diaspora, which is particularly strong in Commonwealth countries such as Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. I mean, these are the huge Scottish populations there, which are brought back into the family through this sort of ceremony.
You have guided me to understand that one of the challenges for Charles is to knit together once again Scotland and England as the United Kingdom.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, the continual presence in Scotland of members of the royal family,
right,
and showing that they they regard that the obligations of the Treaty of Union, which is from the beginning of the 18th century, they're taking that very seriously. Right. But it's also part of this, the overall restoration, if you like, of the nobility in the sense of being noble and inspiring noble actions and noble thoughts and a sense of duty to the nation state, which the Crown is trying to reinstall. And that's been very, very effective, particularly, as I say, at this troubled political time in Great Britain and throughout the Commonwealth.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.